Hey, I know you're probably driving or running or cleaning the house or doing something else when you're listening to this, but look, if you're a B2B marketer and you need to start generating revenue from your marketing, then you have to check out our 12-week program, the B2B Incubator. It's built for small, in-house B2B marketing teams with limited time and budget. We give you the strategy, the templates, and the tools to start driving revenue, not just leads. So if you're ready to act on all the advice Kevin and I give you, next time you take that first sip of coffee in the morning, make sure you head to the B2B Incubator and apply now. There's only 10 spots available per cohort, with our next one launching at the end of May 2024. Remember, the B2B Incubator, apply now so you don't miss out. We've had B2B marketing managers, CMOs, marketers in demand gen roles, content leads, and more all go through this program, and they're currently executing the demand strategies that they've created. Some are now even contributing as much as 80% of the pipeline to their business after working through it. Make sure you check out the b2bincubator.com and apply now to start driving more demand and more revenue for your brand. Okay, let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome to the B2B Playbook podcast. Each week we discuss strategies and tactics to help B2B businesses grow online.
We're your hosts, Kevin and George, a couple of digital marketing professionals. We've waded through the noise and made the mistakes so you don't have to.
The B2B world has changed, and you need to put your customers at the heart of your marketing.
We'll cover how you can use our framework, the 5 B's, to create a brand that customers are ready to buy from, love, and advocate for.
We'll get insights from successful people in the industry and cover the latest trends to keep you on the cutting edge of the B2B world.
If you're interested in B2B marketing strategies and tactics that work, then this podcast is for you.
Subscribe to get the latest from the B2B Playbook first.
Remember, successful B2B marketing starts with the buyer.
Welcome back to the B2B Playbook. This is the podcast where we give away our demand generation framework step by step. We gave it away to you in seasons 1 to 5, and now in season 6, we are answering all your questions about demand generation in our mini series. The last couple of weeks, we spent defining demand generation and looking at when the right time was to start your demand generation program. And today, we're going to be answering the question of which companies are suited to demand generation. Is your company a good fit for it?
And listeners, a quick recap on the last 5 seasons of how we got here. We were giving away the 5 B's framework for demand generation, releasing it step by step, as George said. And to cover off quickly on what those 5 B's were, they were be ready, be helpful, be seen, be better, and be the best. And really all that started with deeply understanding your customers and developing really deep relationships of trust with them online, then amplifying those areas of trust online as well over time. And then we talked about how you can hone all that process in to make sure you're the most efficient at those things, and also to add in different things to that process, to that framework over time, so that you can continue to be leaders, both in your industry as well as your own careers. And as George said, this week, we're turning to the question again, another one that we often get asked: what companies are best suited to demand generation?
Okay, Kev, let's quickly define demand generation. So we're all on the same page. It's got a lot of different definitions. And what we say is demand generation is fundamentally a go-to-market strategy that builds an intense desire in your dream customer to purchase from you. Look, only 3 to 5% of your potential buyers are in market at any given time. That means if you have a market of 100 companies, probably only 3 to 5 are actively looking to purchase a solution like yours right now. Not 100. Most companies start out trying to capture that demand, capture those 3 to 5 companies. They do that, and then they find it very, very difficult to scale. And the reason for that, Kev, is they're just focusing on those who are in market now. Demand generation helps you look much earlier on in that buying journey, looking at those who are unaware or problem aware, developing relationships with that 97% of the market. So when they're ready to buy, they come to you, not the competition. It's what allows your business to grow sustainably.
So that is the definition, listeners, of demand generation. Now that we're on the same page, let's try and answer that question of what kinds of companies are best suited for demand generation. Now, last week, we spoke about the right time to execute demand generation. And I think at the end of the day, that will actually become more of an important factor in why we address the first into when you start to execute demand generation. And as we said, it's probably going to be post-product market fit. And if you're not sure around the reasons why there, we encourage you to check out that previous episode. But assuming that you're at that point where you're post-product market fit, so you've got a group of customers who have similar pain points and they're really using the product that you've developed or the solution that you've developed pretty much out of the box, maybe your next question internally with your stakeholders, with the leadership team might be, okay, but are we suited? Are we a company that's suited for demand generation? And there's a couple of ways you can splice this and try and figure out the answer. One could be asking, does that go-to-market motion even matter? Does it matter what company structure or model you are currently in or you're focused in on actually matter to that process of demand generation or deciding whether you're suited to demand generation? Different go-to-market frameworks, and George has helpfully put that up on the whiteboard there in the video feed. We encourage you to go to YouTube to check that out. But on the whiteboard, you can see that there's a few different ways you can go to market. Obviously, you have inbound, you have outbound, you have partner, communities, product-led, and even events-led there, just as a couple of options of how you can go to market. And for us, we think it really doesn't actually matter which one of these or combinations of these you use. Demand generation can probably still help you to a certain extent. It probably matters more where you are along that journey and how much you can amplify the different aspects of your go-to-market strategy. Because at the end of the day, people need to hear from you before they buy from you. You need to be talking to people through one of these channels in some way, shape, or form. And demand generation is really just a tool for going to market that's really going to help amplify any one of these ones. And if we jump back to the definition of demand generation, it's that go-to-market strategy that builds an intense desire for your dream customers to purchase from you. So basically, it's just almost like a version of one of these or an amplification tool of any one of these or any combinations of these that builds that intense desire in your dream customers who are actually a proper fit for your product. So that's why your product market fit is so important as well. And they want to buy from you. So talking to them earlier on in that five stages of awareness so that you're along with them the whole journey. And you can see if you're doing that, really you can use demand generation tactics to help any one of these strategies. If we look at inbound, for example, that really is the definition of demand generation in a lot of ways. Inbound marketing, you're trying to get people to come to you by putting out helpful content out there or by engaging with people in different ways so that they really know your brand, know that you're the authority to go to before they even start having that need to buy a product or service to solve a particular problem. So really inbound, it almost is interchangeable with demand generation in a lot of ways, but the framework we've laid out for demand generation hopefully helps you crystallize your inbound strategy into something that's much more practical, very workable, and potentially fills in some of the gaps that inbound marketing is missing when you just focus on very high level brand stuff, potentially some of the go-to-market stuff, all the more nitty-gritty parts of the go-to-market can fall by the wayside. But hopefully with the demand generation strategy or framework that we've outlined in the previous five seasons, that can really hone in your inbound marketing and make it much more efficient and much more powerful as your go-to-market tool. If you're then looking at outbound, which we actually see a lot of people use, so the classic example is your sales-led organization where you have a team of 70-80% of salespeople pushing a particular product. That's particularly common for SaaS products and things like that when you're not product-led. So that's the flip side, would be product-led, where you're maybe the engineering team is much more heavily weighted. For outbound, you're probably a lot more sales-led, so the sales team would be a lot bigger. In this case, demand generation is quite important as well, and we've spoken a lot about how the disconnect between marketing and sales teams can really affect the future growth of your business, and the quality of leads, the quantity of leads over time really both diminish quite quickly if you're not focusing in on demand generation and balancing those things in. So again, we see that if you're the type of company that focuses on outbound, that's potentially something you would need to focus in on even earlier than if you were doing inbound. Because potentially if you're actually focusing on inbound as a go-to-market strategy already, then some of the groundwork has already been laid there for demand generation. It's just about using the framework for demand generation to make that a bit more efficient. Whereas for outbound, potentially you're already seeing some of the pain points and some of the bottlenecks of not doing enough inbound work or demand generation work to really build that funnel into your sales-led team who are really driving and trying to connect with people in the market to do that outbound go-to-market strategy. So we think potentially if you're an outbound business, you could be benefiting a lot more than an inbound business from demand generation, focusing in on a clear demand generation strategy as well.
All right, folks, quick breather here. In my time in B2B marketing, generally I've come to realize that there are just certain tools that can be an absolute game changer. And that's why I'm really excited to talk about LeadFeeder. It's a tool that helps you cut through the data and turn those website visitors into solid leads and opportunities for your business. LeadFeeder shows you which companies are checking out your site, tracking their behavior, and it integrates all of this with your CRM. And the result is it's basically like a secret weapon for targeted lead engagement, and it really makes it easier for your team to convert website traffic into sales. Head to leadfeeder.com, give it a free demo, and you'll also get a free extended premium trial when you let the rep know that you found out about LeadFeeder through the B2B Playbook podcast. That's leadfeeder.com. Okay, check it out. Back to the show. Kev, I think if you spoke to any salesperson and you said to them, listen, if I could guarantee that before you spoke to a potential customer, they knew about your brand, they knew about the problem that you were trying to help them fix, and they had some ideas to how you could help them fix it, would they say yes or no to that? I've spoken to a lot of them, and I know that the salespeople who have turned marketers, they said that's the one thing that they wish that their marketing team was really doing. It makes their life as sales so much easier. And so that's how demand generation can perfectly complement all the outbound work that you're doing. Let's not forget that statistic from Bain that 80% of companies will not buy from you if they haven't heard about you before they start searching for a solution. So that means only 20% will if you're an unknown when they start looking for a solution to a problem. So that's why demand generation is so important. And that's why it doesn't matter if your go-to-market motion is inbound or outbound or partnerships or community or product or event. Demand generation is helping build that awareness in a very targeted way. And if you use our framework, it's really going to reflect the buying journey, and it's not going to be content for content's sake. It's not going to be using ads just to spend budget. It's all going to be serving a common purpose of driving pipeline, of building relationships, of trying to make sales lives easier and to help everyone hit their revenue targets.
And I think it's really important in that context to realize that what sales actually want at the end of the day that will actually help them move the needle at their end for their own KPIs are often different to the ones that are agreed to internally for the marketing team. Maybe your goals in the marketing team are to drive a certain number of leads, but there's not a big measure of the quality of those leads. And then there's an immediate disconnect with how much sales can do with the number of leads that you're bringing in if they're not of a certain quality. So I think when you focus in on that demand generation piece, it really helps both marketing and sales align, but also connects outbound to all the other marketing efforts that can really amplify those outbound efforts. Instead of having each salesperson strike out one or four of every five conversations, maybe with a solid demand generation strategy and program in place, you can push that number up to two, three conversations where they're actually closing rather than just one out of five. And that will make a huge difference, multitudes of difference to your existing sales team. Even if they're still growing, you're going to really amplify the effectiveness of that team. And so it's a very similar story when you look at all these other go-to-market channels. If you're looking at partnerships, community, whether you're product-led or event-led, all these different things could potentially benefit from a strong demand generation strategy. It just depends on to what degree and how important demand generation is to sit alongside each of these go-to-market strategies. For example, with partnerships, maybe you're already building some really solid partnerships and getting really good quality leads and clients in through those partnerships. But with some concepts like the Dream 100 that we talked about very early on, building that in as part of your demand generation strategy to complement your partnerships and the strategy that goes in behind your partnerships and who you target in marketing. Are you aligned with your marketing messaging as with the messaging that's going out with those looking after partnerships and those conversations that's happening with your existing partners and potential partners? All these different things can, again, really amplify the effectiveness of these different channels, of these different go-to-market strategies, just like as it did for outbound. It's the same with community, same with product-led, same with events. Is there an alignment between all these go-to-market channels as well as the bottom line, the branding, and the general trust-building content that you're putting out there through your demand generation activities?
That's it, Kev. It complements all the go-to-market strategies. So listeners, it doesn't matter which one your organization uses. Again, demand generation is fundamentally about building trust with people. Business is about building trust with people. That's why this works across every motion. Kev, I want to move on to another question that we get, which is, does industry matter? Now, we've seen people go through our program, the B2B Incubator, across so many different industries, and they've all driven great outcomes through the program by setting up good demand gen engines, and it's worked across all kinds of industries. One that people won't think it work in is in that manufacturing space, that old traditional space where things are still done the old school way. Not a lot is happening online. The sales cycles are complex. There's a lot of decision makers at play and things are generally slow moving. And so people say, isn't it all just building relationships with people? Does demand generation help? And look, yes, remember demand generation is about building relationships with people, and doing it this way enables you to do it while you are sleeping, because you put a helpful piece of content that speaks to a certain person's problem, you push it out to those people that have that problem, and you start building relationships with them. And Kev, at risk of alienating some of our audience, I'm going to tell a little story about a guy that I met playing golf the other day. His name was Clark. Clark is a lovely 75-year-old man. He owned a publishing company for many years, and he kept telling me how publishing is dying. And really, he's constantly looking for ways to make his business more efficient, particularly the manufacturing side in terms of binding and pulling books together. So whatever you can do to save on costs and labor, he's always looking at that. For a very long time, he somehow subscribed to a robotics newsletter. It was done by some company. I think he might have met at the trade show once. Somehow they got his details. They might have added him to his mailing list. I don't really know. Clark's not amazing with computers, it doesn't seem. But he says, I get so many inbound emails all the time. I get so many emails. But this one I always found really interesting and I always read, because it was about how robotics could help make my business more efficient. And he says, finally, we hit this tipping point in our business where we knew it was time that we had to try and make something more efficient. And we looked at robotics as a potential option. And that was the person that they called straight away to look at implementing a robotics company in their business to help try and do their publishing in a cheaper, more efficient way. And that was because this person who had generated this demand, they built this trust with Clark by continually giving value in a very structured, purposeful way that built trust with Clark and ultimately led to them landing a very big deal with him. And so it doesn't really matter what your industry is. This is all about developing relationships with people, meeting them where they are, and delivering that helpful content in a way that suits them. Clark had a ton of emails in his inbox, but he chose to always open up this one because it spoke to him, because it clearly understood his problems. And then when he finally had that need to act on it, he went straight to them because he'd built that trust with them.
Well, there you go, listeners. Many stories like that as well that we've encountered along the way across a wide range of industries. Often demand generation is talked about and touted in that SaaS space. We're talking about businesses who are inherently online, their potential clients are inherently online, but it's 2024, you know, everyone is online. Everyone gets their information in some sort of online media, whether that's newsletters, whether that's YouTube, whatever that source might be. It's probably going to be similar. You just need to find the right channel for a particular industry. Where do your general potential customers or dream customers live online? Where do they get the information from? And then just follow that customer. Go back through season one, go through those customer interviews as we talked about them, and get that information directly from your dream customers. Where do they go and get the information online? Who do they trust? Leverage that information to build your own helpful resources online. Start your demand generation program in that way. And in that sense, you're always going to have an impact from your demand generation. If you're doing it right, industry does not matter. It's probably a matter of time. It's probably a matter of prioritization of resources as to how heavy you go and when you go and how hard you go. But at the end of the day, demand generation will help whatever industry you're in. It's a very similar answer to when is the right time to execute demand generation. As we talked about in the previous episode, we said there that it's post product market fit. But once you have that product market fit, you're probably going to benefit from it in some way, shape, or form. You just need to figure out what's the right way to go about it. What's the right projects to take off to launch from for your demand generation strategy. It's the same thing here with what companies are suited to demand generation. We think most companies, if not all companies, will benefit from demand generation, whatever your go-to-market strategy is, whatever your model is, whatever industry you're in. It's just about picking the right time, the right channels, the right place to start that demand generation journey with the right projects going towards the right dream customer segment that you're hopefully nutting out in your journey into our 5Ps framework.
Beautiful, Kevin. I think that probably covers our key takeaways as well. So well done. Okay, listeners, as always, you can find links to everything that we discussed in the show notes. And Kevin and I are just so grateful that every week more and more marketers are tuning into the B2B Playbook podcast. If we could ask one thing, it would be to please pass on the show to someone who you think would find it helpful. Also, please subscribe, comment, do all those wonderful things. Make sure you check us out on YouTube. We've done a lot of graphics along with this mini series. Please pass it on again to anyone who you find it helpful. It's a huge help to us and we really, really appreciate it. Thank you, Kev. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. Take care and catch you next week.
Thank you, George. Thank you, listeners and viewers. Catch you all next week.
A quick note before you go, listeners. You can find more great content and get in touch with us at theb2bplaybook.com.
Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and our newsletter while you're there to get the latest news, tips, and resources from our playbook.
We'll be back the same day and same time with another episode next week.
Thanks for tuning in to the B2B Playbook. Remember, successful B2B marketing starts with the buyer.